Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Biggest fan. That music gets me every time. Biggest fan headline of the day right now. Steelers have inked edge rusher. For them, that's an outside linebacker, of course. Melvin, oh, I almost did it. Did you hear me setting up for it? How do I say that I'm not going to do it and then screw it up this badly? Melvin Ingram. I would call him the, I think they're about even as far as Melvins go. Gordon had a flashy kind of career, but I think Ingram's going to have more staying power. Steelers ink Melvin Ingram to play opposite TJ Watt. I would assume, at least, to a one-year deal earlier today. Fan headlines brought to you by Everything Checking from Dollar Bank. Open your account now at dollar.bank/300. To give more insight on this and a variety of Steelers topics, because the content mill was still a-churning on the national level with the Steelers today, at least based on what I saw, Brian Batko, Steelers beat writer for the Post-Gazette, joins us right now. Hello, Brian. I'm sorry I haven't played in your Sunday basketball game yet, but I promise you I will eventually do that when my knees don't stop hurting after 15 minutes of running.
That sounds great, Chris. We'd love to have you any weekend. Kale's been making it out there. Pony's been making it out there. So we just need we need Craig, too, to really complete the circle of the PMT.
Craig and I played on a pickup team like that was a PSL team a couple years ago. We played at the Carnegie Library of Homestead, that old school gym they have out there. And Craig just hoisted constantly. Like,
I'm pretty sure I was on that.
I don't remember. Yeah, I couldn't remember if you were or not, but I feel the only thing I remember from that is I'm not sure. I'm not sure if Greg was or not. I'm only remembering it vaguely, but Craig just hoisted, man. Constant hoisting of shots.
Yeah, it's a vague memory for me as well, except for the fact that we got completely drilled every single week. So not all that fond.
That's correct. Melvin Ingram. Being part of the Steelers now, was this something, to your understanding, that's been in the works for a little bit, or did this come out of the blue for you?
Kind of came out of the blue, honestly. I mean, what we knew was in the works is that the Steelers were, at the very least, kicking the tires on some of these veteran edge rushers looking for a home, whether it's a Ryan Kerrigan or Justin Houston. But seemed like this one came together pretty quickly, and the Steelers, you know, their rating of the 2020 Los Angeles Chargers continues with first Trey Turner and now Melvin Ingram, a couple guys who you've got to hope they've still got some left in the tank after, you know, not really being all that good or all that productive last season in Ingram's case.
Well, he seems like the classic case at 32, where I think at that position you can still get another pretty good contract. It's not like running backs in their 30s where everyone just waits for the immediate fall off. If he shows he can stay healthy and he can be productive, it looks to me like he could get another solid deal, which brings me to the idea, Brian, I agree with what Andrew said on the show earlier today. I don't think Melvin Ingram comes here to be a backup to Alex Highsmith or thinks that he's only going to get like situational snaps. I would imagine that he's coming here with the understanding or the idea that he's going to be the starter opposite TJ Watt. What do you say about that?
Yeah, I saw Pony tweet that. I thought that was a good point by him because, you know, I was also getting some flack from people on Twitter when I, put it out there a little bit ago that I don't know that we can completely take this as a slam dunk that they're signing him because they don't believe in Cassius Marsh and they're not sure about Quincy Roche. It does profile to me as almost the jury's still out on Alex Highsmith, which it is. I mean, I know everybody wants to be excited about him and, you know, thinks he did some good things last year as a rookie. I would agree with that, but
I've been pumping the brakes on that one, and it's not because I don't like Highsmith. He did the one thing any player can do to get on our good side here. He came on the show, and he was very good with us. But Like, I'm just, I guess the thing about Highsmith that got me, and I'm glad the Steelers maybe felt this way or are acting in this way, he had two sacks in, I think, what, five starts this last season. He was productive, but not overly so. It, for me, everything he did last year was, oh, hey, that's a pretty good job by Alex Highsmith being thrown into a pretty crappy situation for a guy that most people thought was going to be a little bit more of a developmental player than third-rounders tend to be. But, man, there feels like a rush. I don't know why this is, and you could tell me, because you talk to the people, you do mailbags, you hear from people on Twitter, like you just said. There seemed to be this rush to anoint Alex Highsmith as like, hey, he's ready to go. This guy can do the job. Why are we even questioning that? And I think there's plenty for him to prove still.
Yeah, I think you get that urgency to believe that just because of how good the running mates T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree have been the last couple seasons, and I think people really don't want to adjust expectations maybe now after losing Dupree. And, you know, the thing about bringing on Ingram that makes me think that maybe the Steelers are holding the phone a little bit on Highsmith is, this isn't a guy who's played – like, he's not going to play special teams, I don't think. So he's going to take up a roster spot that, you know, normally that number three outside linebacker for this club is playing most of the special teams units, whether it was Highsmith last year or Anthony Ciccolo or Ola Adeniyi before that. And the other thing is, you know, Chris, I think if the Steelers felt the same way as a lot of the pro Highsmith fans do, you don't go out and sign a guy like this. You probably just say, all right, we're cool with Cassius Marsh and Quincy Roche getting those 12 to 15 snaps per game because we know Highsmith's ready to go in there from day one and get it done. Now, maybe he is, but this move signals to me that they aren't exactly there yet, and that is in line with pretty much the way they've developed just about every outside linebacker in recent years except for the man from another planet, T.J. Watt.
Speaking of T.J. Watt, we're talking with Brian Bacco, Steelers beat writer for the PG here on The Fan. I know that Melvin Ingram, I had a buddy text me this and remind me of this, then I double-checked it on Pro Football Reference, and sure enough, I mean, he played left outside linebacker, then they switched to a 4-3 in L.A. by the time they had moved, and he played right defensive end. So the guy can go on either side of the line of scrimmage or on either side of the formation, the defensive formation, and play. I would think that this has to be at least a little bit motivated by the idea that if T.J. Watt needs a breather because he's relied upon so much, and we saw him tap out of that Browns game late in that playoff game at a crucial spot because he was just gassed, I would have to think that this benefits T.J. Watt a little bit as well. Not just in the sense that there's a veteran who's proven on the other side of him.
Yeah, it helps to have that versatility for sure. I mean, I think that you know, Ingram and Highsmith are going to compete here in camp for the very reasons that you stated earlier. This is a guy who is his whole career just about. He has been a full-time starter, and he's very accomplished. And at 32, probably not coming in here to be the new Anthony Ciccolo, at least not in his mind. So it's going to be pretty interesting. I actually have been kind of trying to carve out space on the Quincy Roche bandwagon, such as it is. I really liked that pick in the draft and thought maybe he could step in right away and be the top reserve at outside linebacker. I would think Cassius Marsh has to really be on alert now, but good thing the card selling business is going well for him. So that's a very, very solid plan B. I just didn't think that they would maybe prioritize edge rusher over a couple of the other positions on defense that seem a little more thin, be it safety or corner or slot corner, if you want to break those down into two different categories.
Well, I will say this, and last kind of Ingram-related question. I mean, I thought depth was a problem on their defense all along, and that was like a tightrope they were going to, I guess, try to walk this year, Brian. But the thing I would say to you is maybe not as much with safety because they rely on those guys to be playmakers, in Edmonds' case, to maybe play up in the box. But in terms of defending the pass in general, this has always struck me as a franchise that tries to do that in a significant part of how they try to defend the pass and help their corners out is by getting to the quarterback. So I feel like they are trying to maybe get have a little bit of both here. Our corners maybe are thin, but they won't have to be as good because we'll be able to more regularly get to the quarterback than we did even last year.
That could be, but you know, not only did they lose their second-best pass rusher, but they also lost their second-best corner. So you're trying to thread a pretty small needle there if that's the outlook for the Steelers. And you know, they knew the writing was on the wall for losing Bud Dupree for a long time. I mean, that's why it was kind of a difficult decision whether or not to franchise him, and ultimately they did. And I would say that move worked out and looked pretty smart, but you know, they weren't going to be able to keep him long term. And we'll see what the contract details are for Ingram. I wouldn't expect it to be anything that breaks the bank. I suppose if it was a really lucrative deal, maybe then you could start poking more holes in it. But it seems like a pretty low risk, high upside move to bring a guy like him in. And it takes me back to last offseason or the one before that, where a lot of fans were kind of banging the table for a Clay Matthews type to come in here and be that third pass rusher. And maybe he can, Ingram can have a good impact on the younger guys too. I mean, you're going to need to bring up types like Highsmith and Quincy Roche. And he's certainly been around the block a lot of times and knows what it takes to win in this league.
Brian Batko, the Post-Gazette talking Steelers with us here on The Fan. Brian, here's one from the ESPN Plus files. And I know that's a pay site, but I don't really feel too bad about giving some of it away to for free to our listeners here.
I probably saw it myself, so go ahead.
Well, they did their future power rankings. I actually like stuff like this because the people involved here, like Lewis Riddick is quoted, Field Yates. I think Riddick is a very sharp guy when it comes to evaluating rosters. So I think this is, especially in his sort of sense, his bread and butter is what he's good at beyond anything else. Certainly better than trying to make funnies on Monday Night Football, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he's gotten GM interviews, right?
So this is
what it takes to build a team.
Exactly, that's what I'm getting at. The guy gets legitimate looks as a front office guy around the league, and I think eventually he's going to be a GM, so I think he knows his stuff. So they did their future power rankings for the next 3 years, this year and then the two following. And they had the Browns at 5, the Ravens, actually I'm bearing the lead here, Ravens at 3, Browns at 5, Steelers at 17, to which they wrote, "One of the steadiest franchises in football enters an interesting phase. Roethlisberger just 1 year left on his deal and had to agree to a reduced salary to stick around for this year. Wouldn't be a surprise if 2021's his final year in the NFL, which begs the question of what's next to the Steelers under center in 2022, 23, and beyond." They do finish by saying, Field Yates here, you know this team will find ways to be competitive with Mike Tomlin as a head coach. What's your reaction, to them being firmly middle of the pack in ESPN's mind over the next 3 years, i.e. the future isn't as bright as it typically is around here?
Yeah, okay, I didn't see this list. So just off the cuff here, I mean, that sounds about right to me. You could maybe argue that it's a little low because you have to assume that T.J. Watt and Minkah Fitzpatrick are going to be in this for the long haul, and it'd be hard-pressed to find two better defensive stars to build around than those two that the Steelers managed to get here. But middle of the pack to me just says, you know, it could swing one way or the other. You've got upward mobility. You've got basement potential. And I think that makes sense because it does hinge on what's going to happen at the quarterback position post-Ben. Are you going to have that ability to kind of strike while the iron's hot and, you know, bring in a fantastic roster around a guy who's a lot cheaper than number 7 has been for most of the last decade? Or are you going to struggle to find someone who can win you games at that spot when you, you know, kind of the way you did 2 years ago with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph running the show. So that number sticks out to me just off the top of my head as being fairly accurate. Again, you could argue that it's low just because of some of the talent that's already here, but certainly they have to be below the other two teams in their division that seem to be doing everything right.
Last one here. Your colleague Rafe Napaldo had a write-up on camp and some storylines for the Steelers. And as one of the five things that he kind of wrote about, five storylines to watch, it was unleash Najee, and of course talking about the first round pick. But then I get to this little line in the second paragraph by Ray on that particular subject, Brian, and it makes my eyebrows raise a little bit here, just because it's the same sort of thing I've been saying, maybe not in as strong or insane sounding of wording that I would use. He said the Steelers aren't likely to commit to the run as strongly as some other teams have, Browns, Ravens, and Titans specifically. Not as long as Roethlisberger is the quarterback, but a happy medium could serve them well. Do you think that Roethlisberger is going to present something of an impediment to maybe really pushing the running game? Do you think they should be trying to push the running attack the way those three teams I just mentioned have been?
Yeah, I think they should. I think the recipe for success for this offense this season is probably less Ben, or at least to be nicer about it, more efficient Ben. So that to me is, you know, throwing less, handing off more. You finally have the guy that I think you're really confident in doing that. I mean, James Conner was a nice player for a couple years there, but you know, certainly by the end of last season, I don't know that you were really thrilled to see Ben turn around and hand off to him. So Harris, he could shift the paradigm here, and not only him, but Matt Canada. It's tougher to gauge the offensive coordinator influence, especially with a quarterback who's been around as long as Ben, and it's just not as tangible as the effect you'll have Najee Harris making statistically. But, I think if they can get Ben to buy into that, then those are all positives. But it is still kind of a double-edged sword because this team was sorely lacking a downfield passing game, or at least an accurate one last year. And, you know, it's a little bit difficult to kind of, you know, play both sides of the coin there and make everything move as well as you want it to if Ben doesn't have the same kind of accuracy and can't maybe move a little bit to extend plays the way he used to.
Brian, a pleasure as always. Kind of weird not talking to you, though, on a Sunday or Saturday morning from my home office doing the show. Very odd to be in the studio.
Yeah, we were on a nice run there.
Oh, nice run? Yeah, some would call it that. Others would say, well, I'll let Gentile be the one who says all of those things. Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome. See you, Chris.
Brian Bacco of the PG talking a little Melvin Ingram. I'm going to keep – you know what's going to be one of those things that I do here? I'm going to work, like they always say, repetition. Who was that guy? Malcolm Gladwell, like, kind of a weirdo. But he would say you got to do anything for 10,000 hours before you can be an expert, which also might be a complete falsehood. I am going, though, to just repetitively say Melvin Ingram over and over again when I'm not working, just so I don't call him Melvin Gordon during the year. Do you know why people confuse their last? If they were like, if it was Chris Gordon and Chris Ingram, no one would think anything about it. But because Melvin is such an, not an odd first name, it's just, it's definitely down there with your Hanks, down there with maybe your Georges these days. Not George anymore, even. I'd have to go with a different one. A Hank, Hank Ingram, Hank Gordon. You could understand that. Melvin is in that class of names where people, if two guys are named Melvin on the same team, people are going to screw up the last names because of the Melvin factor. So I've got to dispense with that. There's no other Melvin on the Steelers so far. So I can't call Melvin Ingram Melvin Gordon. By the way, I don't know if anybody else out there was listening, had this kind of upbringing. Melvin was a name for like a nerd. You'd call somebody a Melvin in school. Do we know where that came from? The origins of Melvin as like a pejorative? Like, wow, you're such a nerd. You're such a Melvin, dude. Because Melvin Gordon and Melvin Ingram could kick like 99% of the world's asses. Definitively not Melvin's in that sense. All right, anyway. Get to Rivers Casino for $5 table games every day. Choose between blackjack, roulette, and mini back, or play all at once. Watch and wager on your favorite sports from the Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Visit riverscasino.com for more information. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Did Taiwan Walker out Will Craig? Will Craig? We have to break down and hear the call from Greg Brown. Maybe the worst baseball play ever, version 2.0. That's next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.